Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome back to Hoth Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
And I'm Grace Seegers.
Haley Birdwilt is not with us for this episode, but we're going to soldier on without her. Our topic this time, what would we like to see next from the sequel trilogy characters? You know, we're getting ready for the Obi-Wan Kenobi show to come out. There's a lot of attention to books, TV, potentially even movies set in all new eras of Star Wars. But, you know, Kathy Kennedy has said they're not done with the sequel trilogy characters. And while we might not see Daisy Ridley and the rest of the gang in live action again, or who knows, maybe we will, there are plenty of other opportunities for stories with these characters, and we thought we would step back from the Obi-Wan Kenobi and all the other things that are getting a lot of well-deserved hype right now and revisit the sequel trilogy and see where things go from there. So we're going to go through a few of the main characters here and talk about what we'd like to see next from them and how we'd like to see them going off on adventures together. I have some thoughts. I know Grace has some thoughts. And I guess we'll see how much we agree or disagree. So, Grace, should we start with Rey? I think Rey is the natural starting point. She's kind of the main character.
I think we should start with
Rey. All right. So, last we saw Rey, she is Rey Skywalker, however you feel about that. She's defeated Palpatine, who has somehow returned, and she is burying Anakin slash Luke slash her lightsaber in the sand on Tatooine, even though both Anakin and Luke hated Tatooine. Whatever, don't at me. Grace, what's next for Rey? What would you like to see her do?
Well, I feel like I should start this by saying that, as you all know, if you have listened to our episode 9 episode where we talked about Rise of Skywalker, I did not enjoy that movie at all, and I think that all of the endings for each character is dumb. So I feel like I just need to get that out of the way before I can even say anything, because I'm frustrated that we're even here in the first place. But here we are with Rey and her golden lightsaber, saying that she is Rey Skywalker to the random nosy old lady on Tatooine. I think that it would be pretty cool if she traveled the galaxy and rebuilt the Jedi Order, perhaps finding other Force-sensitive folks and sort of reclaiming the legacy of Luke and Leia to some extent. But she has given herself the name Rey Skywalker, and I think that we are supposed to glean that she takes that mantle very seriously. And something we know about Luke is that he was very dedicated to rebuilding the Jedi Order, which ultimately was a failed effort, but presumably he laid some groundwork there. And I really think that Rey would try to take that up and perhaps dedicate the rest of her time to sort of rebuilding the Jedi Order. We know she has the Jedi texts and kind of picking up where Luke left off.
Yeah, I love that. I totally agree. I would really like to see her restart the Jedi Order, because I think the galaxy does need the Jedi. You know, the whole last movie was, and part of the episode 8 was basically about how Luke was wrong to say that the Jedi need to die. In fact, the galaxy needs the Jedi. But hopefully this time, you know, as you said, you know, Rey needs to avoid making the prequel trilogy Jedi's mistakes when it comes to things like attachment, and perhaps even when it comes to things like the relationship to the galactic government. So I do want to see the potential for a more compassionate, flexible Jedi Order, the kinds of policies that Rey would come up with, having learned from, again, you know, working with Luke, understanding Luke's own flaws, understanding where he went wrong, understanding where the prequel Jedi went wrong. One imagines that in those books that Rey took from the tree on Octo, there are perhaps some stories there about the prequel Jedi and where they went wrong. We don't know, but it would be really interesting to watch her learning from those mistakes. You know, Grace, one thing that I think is really interesting about Rey in this time period is, what is her relationship like to whatever comes next for the Galactic Government? They're probably going to build some kind of new republic again. And you know, one of the things I enjoyed about the Expanded Universe novels was getting to see Luke's relationship to the government, even though he wasn't, you know, part of it. But as the leader of the Jedi, he had a role to play there. And something that you sort of see in the sequels to a degree is that people kind of worship Rey in the same way that in a lot of the, for example, in the canon Star Wars comics, you see a little bit of this in the original trilogy era with Luke. People sort of treat him like this godly figure because he is a Jedi, he's destroyed the Death Star, etc., etc. And I would like to see a little bit more of that fleshed out in terms of, you know, these people around Rey see her as a mythical figure because of what she's done, especially after defeating Sidious. She, of course, has her own doubts about her abilities and the path that she's on. Not to say that she is paralyzed by doubt all the time, but everybody has doubts. And I think especially when you are in a leadership role, when you are put on a pedestal, it's natural if you've struggled in your life to wonder if you deserve to be there, even if everybody around you thinks that you do. I would really like to see stories where we watch her work to deserve this mantle that she is being given, and to be that source of inspiration and hope that, you know, both Luke and Leia were in earlier times.
I think on a meta level, that whatever Disney Star Wars does next with these characters, they could learn a lot from the expanded universe that they so callously threw away. But what I mean is just in terms of continuing the story in a way that may not necessarily be through film, but really building a rich tapestry of what happens next through books and comics. And as you were talking about some of the challenges that Rey might face, it made me think of the Heir to the Empire trilogy, I believe it was trilogy, with Thrawn, and how Thrawn first showed up in the expanded universe as an antagonist to Luke and the trio, and how it would be really kind of cool to have a Thrawn-esque villain for Rey to come up against, and for her to sort of be assuming this role, like you're saying, with the New Republic, dealing with her own doubts, and then come up against some kind of villain. I think that if they wanted to, there is some pretty fertile territory for them to essentially build a new expanded universe. And it's kind of a different situation because the expanded universe novels of the late 80s, 90s, 2000s were pretty much all written with the expectation that there weren't going to be any more sequel movies. And we don't necessarily have that certainty anymore. But I think that if they wanted to commit to continue telling these stories, that there is some really interesting ground for them to run, and that's how I guess I would tie it to Rey, would be to give her a really good antagonist for books or comics.
Right. I mean, you know, one thing we haven't seen with Rey is when she's the only source of authority in Force Awakens. You know, Han was not in charge of things, but he was sort of a father figure to her, and Leia was still around. In Last Jedi, Han is gone, but Leia is still very much in charge, and then she meets Luke, and she spends that time, you know, working with Luke. Rise of Skywalker, you know, Luke is gone, even if she is able to commune with him, and then she loses Leia. And so it's like, oh, okay, after that, there's really nobody else from the older generation who is regularly around advising her. Lando is alive, but we don't know. We don't know to what extent he's going to take on a more active role. He could, but we have no reason to think that he would. So she's really got to do a lot of this for herself. And again, I think, you know, that Heir to the Empire analogy is so great, because here's Rey. She's young, but she's super powerful. the people who have been mentoring her are gone, a lot of people are going to be looking to her to solve a lot of problems. And that includes problems that the galaxy hasn't faced before. And she's got to figure out how to fit into this new role that people are shoving her into of sort of the leader, and how that works. I would imagine with whatever government is being set up, they might be a little bit wary of having her take on that role when, you know, nobody elected her. So I think there's all kinds of interesting storytelling you can do there. And as you point out, the template here, Heir to the Empire, is from an era when they thought that they could basically just do whatever they wanted and that they needed to figure out a way to keep going after that joyful final scene of Return of the Jedi. If they decide to do something like this with Rey after the sequels, it doesn't have to be that exact same thing, but I do want to... first of all, I want to see more with these characters. Second of all, you know, just because Sidious has been defeated and the First Order has lost, you know, the Final Order has lost all of those ships, doesn't mean that they're necessarily gone, right? We saw this with the storytelling in the lead up to The Force Awakens. The Battle of Jakku was the end of the Empire. The Battle of Endor was not the end of the Empire. So there's an opportunity to continue to use that villainous force, or to just pick a new one and say they're the new big bad. But, you know, people sometimes frown or get a little bit dismissive of the idea that there always has to be more to the story, that you know, a happy ending is never really the end. But that's life. I mean, until the heat death of the universe, there's always going to be another challenge out there. So, you know, there's going to be dark times, and I think Rey needs to be that source of hope.
It'd be pretty funny if the next challenge was the heat death of the universe.
Like, that would
the
be
literal, literal end.
Quite an ambitious project for Lucasfilm. I don't know if the visual effects folks over there, even with everything we've seen with The Mandalorian, I don't know how they would portray the heat death of the universe. That might strain their visual effects team to the limit.
As long as Palpatine does not somehow return, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, that would be really funny if, like, the heat death of the universe is happening and Poe pops up again. You're not going to believe this, Rey. Somehow, again. And then, like, the heat death of the universe just kills everybody and it cuts to black.
Everybody but Palpatine.
Right.
He survives.
Just, hello? Hello? Is this thing on?
Should we talk about Finn?
Yeah, so I remember during our discussions of the sequels, all three of us were pretty disappointed with the story arc, or lack thereof, that Finn had. And in our notes, Grace, you had written up where we last saw each of these characters. Do you just want to remind us your memory of where we last saw Finn?
Yes, so where we last saw Finn, I genuinely don't remember, and this is a verbatim quote from our notes, because that's how garbage his Rise of Skywalker plotline was. And it's true, I meant to look up what happened to him in Rise of Skywalker at the end after he hugs Rey and Poe. I don't even remember if there's a scene with him after he hugs Rey and Poe. Anyway, I meant to look it up, but I didn't, so here we are. I don't remember what happened.
Well, you know, I'll say this. I, you know, there was a lot of talk about, and the leaked, you know, the leaked script for one draft of Rise of Skywalker would have had him going off and, you know, leading a stormtrooper rebellion, uprising on Coruscant that would have, you know, freed Coruscant for the Republic. I do still want to see him using the skills and the values that he has developed, first as a conscript in the First Order, then as a willing member and leader of the Resistance. I mean, he's a general at this point by Rise of Skywalker. I want to see him get out there and help dismantle the First Order in the way that he knows best, which is to actually free the stormtroopers from the brainwashing that Hux has put them through. I want to see him use these newly freed groups of, you know, again, really, you know, specialist, highly trained commandos, really, to liberate planets under the control of the First Order. That's where I would like to see him go, because I think that's the unique skill set and the unique background that he brings to the story. But, you know, Grace, I know that you were interested in seeing something a little bit different from him.
Yeah, I think what I would like is justice for Finn's character in another way, and for him to become a Jedi and have that aspect of him realized, because it was cruelly teased throughout the sequel trilogy that he was force sensitive and that he could be a Jedi as well. And we just never saw that come to fruition. I think that was a major mistake and kind of an insult to Finn's character and John Boyega that he was promised something that didn't end up panning out. So I admit that what I would like to see from Finn's character would be kind of a little bit of justice for what we didn't see in the trilogy. So I would like to see him realizing that he's a Jedi and also working to restart the Jedi Order. But that said, I do also really like the idea of him working to deprogram other First Order stormtroopers and sort of act in this liberating front. I think that's also important, and I think that would really fit in with his character. So I don't know, maybe there's room for both. Like, maybe he can realize he's a Jedi and team up with Rey occasionally, but also continue his own mission and have his own agency on that front. So that's kind of a have your cake and eat it too answer, but I'm hungry and I want cake.
Yeah, I think there's room for both. I think, you know, embracing his force sensitivity, learning from Rey about how to use his abilities, how to achieve calm, balance, focus. These are skills that can be combined with his own existing skills and background to make him even better at that other kind of mission if he wants to embrace it, of going around and showing people the light, helping them do what he did, and weakening the First Order in another way. And so I think that possibility is there. The other thing that I would like to see, and I would like to know your thoughts, Grace, is I think we were also robbed of the Rey Finn romance, and I would still like to see it happen. Is that something you want to see?
Yes, I think that would be awesome. I do think we were also robbed of the Rey Finn romance. The thing is, so here's where I'm conflicted. I think that we were also kind of robbed of the Finn and Poe romance.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
So the thing, like, honestly, I would be happy with either. I genuinely would love either option. So I don't think that Finn and Poe is likely, because, you know, Disney, Star Wars, they're not ready to commit to that. We all know it.
Well, what they could do, Grace, is they could just write all the stories in a way where when they send them to China, they just chop out all those pages. And so, you know, you could have that for the American audience, but then the Chinese audience just gets a book that's like 2/3 as long and just has strategically removed pages.
Yeah, that'll solve it. That's the way to do it. I am being very sarcastic. That's not the way to do it. But yeah, I think it'd be very cool to see Rey and Finn kindle that romance, because they do have a natural basis for a relationship. We saw the origins of it throughout the sequel trilogy. I think that would be swell. I have truly no complaints about that development were it to come to pass.
By the way, just in case anybody wonders what I was talking about, that's literally what they did for the same-sex kiss at the end of Rise of Skywalker. They cut out that moment for the Chinese release. Just in case anybody thought that was coming out of left field, they literally did that. Anyway, yes.
Well, let me just add that was like a same-sex kiss between two rando characters who we do not know their names. I'm sure someone knows their names. But I mean, these were not characters that we had any emotional ties to. It's not the same as if it were a kiss between Finn and Poe. It, like, not only did they totally cut that out for China, they also just didn't even commit to having characters that we would care about kiss. But
oh,
yes,
of course.
Continue.
Of course, of course. Yes. Mostly just a little joke there to remind us of how spineless Disney is.
Extremely.
Yeah, I and you know what? Look, if we don't see the Rey Finn romance, I really just want to see the two of them hang out a lot more. I think they have a great dynamic, whether it turns romantic or not. They are, you know, their energy, the way they play off each other is great. The same is true for the way that Finn and Poe play off of each other. One of the strengths of the sequel trilogy, I think, was the humor and the kind of modern, irreverent, you know, banter, which was both of the current era and also reminiscent of the original trilogy in a really fun way. So I think that was a success for the prequel, for the sequels, and I would like to see that replicated if we do see these characters again. So let's talk about Poe. I genuinely don't remember much about where we left off with him in The Rise of Skywalker. Again, I think the last moment for Finn and Poe was that hug at the Resistance base after they win. And before that, I mean, he was flying around in the space battle. He had, you know, the Allies had shown up and he was destroying a lot of Star Destroyers. But in terms of character growth and development, I don't necessarily know that he got a lot in Rise of Skywalker. Of course, the end of Last Jedi was clearly building toward him becoming the new Leia. So I think that really opens up some interesting doors for him.
Yeah, it seemed like in Rise of Skywalker, he had kind of unlearned all of the lessons that he had gotten in The Last Jedi. And you may not like the lessons that he got in The Last Jedi, but I mean, at the very least, he was terribly inconsistent. His characterization in Rise of Skywalker, I felt. So what I would like to see is the lessons of leadership that he learned actually stick with him this time around. But no, I don't actually fault the character of Poe for that. It's obviously just not good writing. In all seriousness, I would like to see him taking that leadership role, helping to refound the New Republic or whatever comes next for galactic governance. And I think one of the very, very few good things about Rise of Skywalker was seeing that interplay between Rey, Finn, and Poe and having them interact as a trio more. And I would just genuinely want more of that. I want him to be hanging out with Rey and Finn more often, even if it is completely platonically. That I just think that would be really nice to actually have this trio interact as a trio more, and that we'd get to see that humor and that relationship, those relationships develop more.
Yeah, I think it's clear that he is the person to take up Leia's mantle to, you know, because you get that, as you said, that character arc of going from that hot-headed, impulsive character who destroyed the entire bomber squadron to somebody who understands the need for the value of restraint and discipline. And yes, I would like to see him kind of relearn those skills and really do what Leia was clearly grooming him to do, which is to help reform the galactic government. You know, that's a place, I think, with Poe, you could really get into some interesting political stories. What is it like to try to rebuild a galaxy that's been torn apart by a war that everybody thought was not going to happen because of the previous war and because of how the previous war ended? I think it's going to be difficult for whatever comes next in terms of a galactic government to make the case to some of these systems, especially in the Outer Rim, that they can protect them, that they should join up. You know, it's hard to say that you should come and be part of our little galactic government that we're building here when, you know, the reason that we're having to rebuild it is because our previous capital was blown up in a surprise attack that our spies did not see coming, and we allowed the flourishing of illegal arms sales to create this rogue military force out in the unknown regions. I mean, that's a hard sell. And I think if anybody can make the case that, look, I take the possibility of First Order threats seriously. I'm this steely-eyed, you know, battle-hardened pilot. Poe is a guy who can go out there and really make a convincing case, I think, that this is going to be different, that the new Republic, if you will, perhaps the new squared Republic, is not going to make the mistakes of the old government, that this is a government, presumably, we have to imagine, that is going to be created and led and informed by the people who saw the mistakes of the previous government, not the sclerotic, you know, ignorant New Republic Senate and the acolytes around them, but the people who were alienated by those folks, the people who saw the threat and understood what to do. So I think that's an interesting possibility in terms of stories, and I think he's going to have to continue to grow as a leader to learn the subtleties of diplomacy, as we saw Leia master in the original trilogy. He's going to be working against a lot of history, because we've seen, you know, multiple galactic governments either fall apart or prove themselves to be tyrannical or incompetent. And again, as I said, I'm not pushing for the end of Star Wars history where they finally figure out the one perfect government and they make everything work. But I'd like to see them do something better than the last one. And so I think that's an opportunity there.
Something you said in your notes on this is that there are a lot of missions that could call for the combination of skills of Rey, Poe, and Finn. And I think that is a really fun idea of having these kind of side quests. Like, they're the big three, they're doing their own things. Poe is, you know, rebuilding the government and trying to get people to trust him, and Rey and Finn are doing their respective things, but they have to get together for some silly side quest, and they just have a little adventure together. And I really like that idea. I like the idea of them just getting together regularly to go on some kind of mission that is related but not pertaining to the really big stuff, just them dealing with something relatively small and working together as a team.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to do it. One, and you can do them both. One is that they get together for these side quests where we really get to, it's more of a personality-driven story. We get to see them having fun. The stakes are lower. They can really be themselves. The other is when the threat starts to pull them together as they're off doing their own thing, they end up crossing paths because the threat is so big that it has aspects that they're all dealing with and they have to team up to defeat it. And so, I mean, there's it's not quite the same as the Avengers, but it could be somewhat similar in the sense that you become a fan of each of them individually across their own stories. And this is something that I think a comic would probably be best positioned to do, is if you have comics for each of them, you could have a crossover where they realize that the threads that they're pulling on are actually part of a broader tapestry and they all need to team up. And this is something that's really too big for one of them to handle on their own. And we get to see them flex their individual unique muscles to take down this threat. So, you know, there's just a lot of possibilities there with this trio.
Yeah, I love that idea. Should we get controversial now and talk about the late Ben Solo?
Yes, it's funny. As you said, you know, should we get controversial and talk about him? I was suddenly struck by the need to sing. I'm assuming you've seen Encanto. But I was going to say, we don't talk about Solo.
Yes.
But we do. The thing is that we do have to talk about Ben Solo.
We do have to talk about him.
Yeah. So.
So last time we saw him, he was dying a stupid death. And here's the thing. I don't want you to think, you, the audience, that I'm a fan of Ben Solo, because I'm really not. But I still think that his death was dumb. And what I would like to see next is, this is absolute fantasy and will not happen, especially not in the way I want to see it. But since the topic of this episode is what would we like to see happen next, I'm just gonna spitball my silly, crazy idea that will never happen. So I would like to see him revived somehow. And then go to trial for his war crimes. And, you know, I believe in some sort of redemption if he's willing to work for it. But I feel like trial is a good thing for him. And since Eric, as you noted, there might be some potential for shipping if he is revived. Well, in my perfect universe, there isn't. He just goes to trial and thinks on his sins, and that's his future.
So they sort of pull a Napoleon where they just like put him on a deserted planet somewhere and he's supposed to just contemplate his failures?
Well, I think he should go to trial. Like, I think there should
But I mean
be...
after that, like presumably he will get convicted. Unless, what a twist. Can you imagine like the comic miniseries, the ten issue comic miniseries, the trial of Ben Solo,
yeah,
and the last 12 issue
angry men.
Is like, yeah, they get you see like the cutaway scenes with the jury pool, and then finally the very last issue, like the last three pages, is the shocking acquittal of Ben Solo. And then he just goes free.
No. Again, since this is my perfect universe of what will happen, that would not happen. Yeah, I guess he would go be in exile somewhere. I don't know, do community service, galactic community service. But I thought it was really dumb that, first of all, he was able to be redeemed so easily, and then just killed off for no reason other than the fact that it's convenient. And I think that he is yet another character with wasted potential. And that he, you know, there was more that could have been done with him. And if they really wanted to redeem him, they could do it properly. But that would require him to not be dead. So that's my two cents. I clearly have not thought about this very much, so don't at me that I don't have a better idea of what his rehabilitation would look like. But I think my main takeaway here is that it's dumb that he's dead in the first place.
I mean, they brought back Darth Maul. So
they sure did.
I think the opportunity is here for, like, you know, Dave Filoni is listening to this episode of Hoth Takes and he hears Grace say, you know, this makes no sense. There's no way this could happen. And he just steeples his fingers and cackles to himself. And he says, hold my blue milk.
Hold my hat.
Hold my hat. He takes off the hat and there's a fully written trial of Ben Solo 10 issue comic miniseries under the hat. Yeah. I don't want to see that. I don't want any more Ben Solo content. He's dead. Leave him alone. I was never all that interested in him. He was just kind of this whiny boy who frankly just distracted from the greatness of the big three, and their stories. And yeah, as I had, you know, said before, don't give Raylo even the possibility of a chance of a hope of a dream. Just, you know what? The death is the one, you know, bridge that the shippers cannot cross, although I'm sure some shipper out there has thought that through already. Don't at me. Leave him alone.
I feel like I want to amend my statement to say that I don't really want any time put on him at all. I just kind of want it to be in the back, like a throwaway line, like we're reading the novel about what the big trio is doing next, and they mention in like one line of dialogue, like, oh hey, he's back to life and he went to trial for his war crimes. That's neat. Now let's go off on our cool adventure.
It's gotta be Poe, and it's gotta be somehow Ben has returned. Anyway, and then they just go back to what
anyway,
they were doing.
Yes, that's what I think.
All right, so I do want to talk a little bit about some of the other characters who had important roles in the sequel trilogy. Let's start with another grievously mistreated character, Rose Tico, who deserves so much more. This is an era, you know, that is ripe for a storytelling potential for a lot of characters. Grace, what would you like to see from Rose?
Yeah, I mean, I just once again have to offer my rage that she was mistreated so horribly, that she, the character, Kelly Marie Tran, the actress, and once again, another example of Disney being really spineless and just rolling over for the worst subsets of fans. I had to get that off my chest. Now that that is off my chest, I would love to see a book or maybe even a comic series just dedicated to her and what she does next. And I think she's going to play a really big role in founding the New Squared Republic. And I want to see her involved in some political intrigue. Like, when I envision a story with her, it would, there's going to be like a kind of fun, almost spy element to it. Just like court politics and her trying to navigate it and being this voice of truth and reason and in a formerly corrupt, now rebuilding galactic government. And I just really see her being a crusader and a reformer and playing a really big role in whatever happens next for the New Republic.
Should it be the New Republic V2?
Too new, too Republic.
Or like New Republic final, real final.pdf. Too new to Republic is actually really good. I like that idea. It's funny, you know, when I was preparing notes for this, I had thought, okay, well, she is an expert mechanic and she has a head for ship designs and ship repairs and all that stuff. So the ultimate expression of that is for her to become sort of the lead, you know, logistics supervisor for the New Republic. She helps design the ships, build the ships, you know, almost a partially a tribute to her her sister, who was also a key part of the New Republic fleet. And she generally is in charge of making sure that the fleet is gets the supplies that it needs and is designed properly. And I do think that that would be a continuation of what we've already seen her do, but there's really two paths. One is for them to sort of accelerate her on this journey of what she was doing before, which is working with the ships and, you know, ensuring that that element of the fleet is ready to go. The other, as you said, is to take kind of a more values-based approach, you know, sort of like with Finn, you know, taking the lessons that he's learned there, not just the skills he's developed, but also acting on his values. For Rose, that is, you know, trying to, you know, stamp out slavery and, you know, illegal arms dealing and all forms of oppression across the galaxy. And there is going to need to be somebody that the voice of the sort of the conscience of the new, you know, of Too New, Too Republic, who is basically on Poe's case all the time about, hey, we can't make the mistakes of the past that leave people embittered and disillusioned with our government. We need to actually be a forceful and effective presence in their lives. Otherwise, they're not going to support us when we need them. And I think that would be a really interesting opportunity for her.
I think, you know, in The Last Jedi, she really is that voice who, she understands what the resistance is for, how it presents hope to people, and her own role in acting as a liberator in whatever way she can. And I think that's really the origin story of her realizing that she can take leadership roles based on her values and definitely be haranguing Poe about what's right. And, you know, I think that's really fertile ground for her. Like, I mean, of course she's a mechanic. She can also do cool technical stuff because she is a multifaceted person. But that's what I would like to see from her, would to have really be the conscience of Too New, Too Republic government.
Yeah, and it also creates an opportunity for tension that is not based on black and white ideological opposition, right? She can be clashing with Poe even though they're on the same side. They like each other. They respect each other. But Poe has to be the pragmatist in a lot of ways. And Rose is colored by her past to a degree where she's decided that she's going to be the champion for the downtrodden and the oppressed at all costs. And sometimes that's going to present Poe with problems, and he's either going to side with her or not, but it's going to have implications for this government. And I'm just sort of acting like Poe's in charge of the government, but whoever it is, Poe's probably going to be there along with them, and they're all going to be talking about what to do. And here's Rose saying, we need to do this in all circumstances. And Poe and others are probably going to have to make a decision about what do we lose if we go that route? And sometimes it may not be a simple choice.
I could really see, Rose being more on the civilian side, as it were, and Poe being more on the military side, and having that kind of tension in their relationship. But yeah, love this spitballing.
Yeah, let's just, you know what, Disney, just have us co-write a book about Rose and Poe. I think we can make it work. We're available. We'd have to shut down the podcast, obviously, because we would just talk about our book the whole time. But, you know, hit us up. You can find our agent's contact numbers online. All right, let's talk a little bit about Janna. Last scene, talking to Lando Calrissian, and presumably the movie was implying that she was his long-lost daughter, ? Not quite sure what was happening there. It's sort of hinted at in the reference book that yes, in fact, that the timing and the circumstances line up a little bit. But I think, you know, like Finn, she has an opportunity to go on these missions where she's using her skills and her values to make things better by undermining the First Order, by liberating former stormtroopers. You know, Finn, she could even partner with Finn on this. You know, I think that would be a really great team up. And again, it's a different kind of team up than Finn and Rey or Finn and Poe, because they share something different, right? Finn and Rey share certain elements of their lives, but there's going to be parts of Finn's life that Rey will never understand, and vice versa. And Janna does understand to a degree part of what Finn went through, and I think this would be an opportunity for them to have a really interesting relationship.
I think something that you mentioned in the notes that I think would be a really cool way to go would just to have Finn and Janna build this really strong partnership, but not have it be romantic. And I think, you know, we saw the movies hinting at first a romance between Rey and Finn, and then, you know, for whatever reason, my theory is, of course, the spinelessness, not going through with that, and then hinting that maybe he would be with Rose. JK, no, maybe he'll be with Janna. No, I think that he can have relationships with both Rose and Janna and have them just be really good, strong partnerships. And especially with Janna, I think there is just really good grounds for them to be working together as they take down the infrastructure of what is left of the First Order and help these former stormtroopers deprogram. I would really like to see that.
Yeah, and I think that is, again, another example of how these characters who did not get enough time, you know, who might have been handled in ways that were pretty problematic because of very problematic pressure on Disney, they can have a second life in the non-movie media in ways that are just, again, it's just an untapped vein of potential here, especially when you start talking about partnerships and team-ups between the characters. And actually, that's a pretty good segue to the next people we want to talk about. R2-D2 and C-3PO have been through so much together. Here they are. They've both made it through the entirety of the Skywalker saga. They're ready to wash their hands of this ridiculous family. Grace, what's next for our favorite droid duo? Droid-namic duo.
Well, I think that they finally get married in a beautiful ceremony on Naboo, and BB-8 officiates. Everyone comes. It's a great party. They have a wonderful time. And then I think, going along with what you are probably going to say, you know, they just continue to do what they have always done, with R2 going on these adventures and 3PO, you know, staying by the politician's side, whether that is Poe or what have you, and them continuing with the traditional roles and guidance that they have always shown the humans that they love, but they are also now officially married. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a story that, you know, you would have to cut out of the book for China. that would be quite a can of motor oil. I don't know what the analogy would be there. Yes, I think it would be really great to see R2 continuing to, well, I was going to say continuing to go on missions with, you know, with the heroes of the trilogy. But honestly, I'd like to see him go on his own missions. I think I've talked about this before, but there's a fantastic canon comic issue where C-3PO has been captured and R2 goes off on his own and saves him. And he creates such a ruckus on board the Star Destroyer that all the stormtroopers think an entire rebel army has showed up. But it's actually just R2-D2 just slaughtering stormtroopers as he, you know, makes his way to his captured friend. So R2-D2, yeah, that is how you, folks, that's how you say I love you. This Valentine's Day, save your loved one from a Star Destroyer. Yeah, I mean, I think he needs his own missions at this point. We've waited long enough. Let's see him do his own thing. I like the idea of him being a boss on his own. 3PO, I think, yeah, he's a natural on the political front, and whoever is at that senior level in the Republic government is going to need somebody, not only somebody who has sort of the basic protocol programming, but also, my God, I mean, 3PO has just a wealth of historical knowledge and experience. I mean, the adventures that he's been on, the insights that he has, if he can just call them to mind, I mean, he is an incredible resource for anybody who wants to lead a galactic government at this point. And yeah, I just think that he should be doing that. And then every so often, R2 comes home to their, you know, their condo building on, you know, Coruscant or whatever, and just is like, you would not believe the day I had, and is telling him about, you know, basically whatever his latest cool adventure was, and 3PO just listening very politely, you know. Then they exchange stories about, oh, how was the Senate today, they just, you know, they live out their lives together.
I love this. This is beautiful. So speaking of beloved droid companions, what do we think happens next for BB-8 beyond my plan that he officiates R2 and 3PO's wedding?
Well, for sure, he is their best friend. I like to imagine that he sometimes, like, Kramers his way into their condo, you know, like he's kind of like the wacky cousin. And like they love him, but like he's clearly, when he shows up, like there's a little bit of comic relief there. But I also think, you know, he has bonds with Finn and Poe at this point, so he could really be accompanying either of them. But you know, in the actual trilogy, we see him more. I think we see him more with Finn. I don't actually know the screen time count there. But I would like to see him accompanying Finn on the mission to sort of break the First Order's grip on the galaxy. And I think it would be cool if he, you know, he's got some hacking skills. He could deprogram some First Order droids and turn them to the Republic side.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty neat. Maybe Finn and Poe kind of share custody of BB-8. Only, you know, BB-8, he has his own mind. He does what he wants. But I can see him hopping between the two of them, and you know, when he wants to go help deprogram some First Order stormtroopers, he goes helps out do that. Maybe he sometimes goes along with Rey too, because they have a nice little rapport as well.
That I can't believe I forgot about that, the original human droid dynamic of that trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
I really see him just kind of bouncing around, going on his own adventures, but not necessarily tied to any one place except for his standing invitation at the Coruscant condo of R2 and 3PO.
And he could be the one who's keeping them informed about the trio, because the thing is, R2 and 3PO were used to their own trio. I mean, in the prequels, they had a totally different trio, but, you know, mostly the original trilogy trio, they're gone. They're not really connected as closely to the sequel trio. BB-8 is the one who's coming into the condo and telling them the stories about, like, oh my god, you would not believe what Poe said at this dinner today. I wanted to facepalm, but all I had was my lighter attachment and not my manipulator arm, so I couldn't do it.
Love this. Love this idea.
All right, so there is one last character that we need to talk about. We've gone through a lot of the big characters here, but what do we think is next for Palpatine? Because he's going to return somehow. What's next for Palpatine? Where is his story going?
All right, so Palpatine comes back, but surprise, he rips off his mask like Scooby-Doo, like old
what?
Scooby-Doo cartoons. He what? Rips off his mask and it's Jar Jar.
What?
That's right. Darth Jar Jar has been behind this whole thing and he is here to get his revenge before the heat death of the universe kills everyone.
Hang on, are you saying, when you say the whole thing, I just want to make sure I understand, you're saying there was never a Palpatine, it was
no.
Jar Jar the whole time?
Like Snoke was Palpatine's puppet, Palpatine was Jar Jar's puppet puppeting Snoke. So, like, there are layers here. There are layers, but all comes back to Darth Jar Jar.
Wow. I mean, this is just, the storytelling potential there is just incredible, and I hope they get to it before the heat death of the universe.
Yeah, they don't have much time. Clock's ticking.
All right, well, hopefully Disney will pick up on some of our ideas here, some of them a little bit more practical than others, but we do hope that we see more storytelling with the sequel trilogy characters because there's just so much untapped potential out there. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Hoth Takes. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to share your thoughts about this episode or suggest topics for future shows, you can email us at hothtakes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at hothtakes. I'm Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is Grace_Seegers. And Haley is Burdenator. Haley made our wonderful logo and banner art, and I edited the show, and I put together our music. And again, for legal purposes, we do want to point out that all Star Wars themes and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. If you want to listen to previous episodes of Hoth Takes, you can do that on our website, where we have a complete archive of episodes, hothtakes.wordpress.com. And if you like the show, please share it with a friend. You can find Hoth Takes on all the major podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.